Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us on the show is our Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, Ryan McDonough, former GM of the Suns. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job at Indeed.com/hire. Ryan, you're on with Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. It's great to talk to you. How big a dark cloud or how ominous is the luxury tax for teams over the next 48 hours when it comes to their motivations in making deals?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Good morning. I think as far as the tax, it depends on the team. And as you guys know, in Houston, there's relatively new ownership with Tillman Fertitta, and his appetite to pay the luxury tax is still to be determined, I think, at this point. I think there's certainly championship contenders who wouldn't mind paying it. I think he should pay it, but it's not my money, right? If as a former front office guy, I think if you're close to having a championship contending team, which the Rockets are, there's such a limited window, guys, as you know, especially given what happened 2 years ago in Game 6 when Chris Paul got hurt. I know the Rockets fans don't want me to remind him of that, but I think Houston's right there, sitting at fifth in the Western Conference. I think this year is as wide open as any over the past couple of years, with the Golden State super team having fallen off, and I think if the Rockets have a chance to upgrade their roster, they should go for it and figure out long-term payroll ramifications in future years.
And what do you think about, just on a pure basketball level? I try to remain unbiased, but frankly, here locally, a lot of us, myself included, I feel a little disappointed in Clint Capela because he hasn't, you know, he disappeared in the playoffs last year. He hasn't quite developed like it looked like he was on the trajectory that he was. But what about just competing with bringing in a wing of some sort in some random center, but losing Capela? How does that affect you long term?
Yeah, obviously it depends on who the players are that you bring back, but I think Capela is one of the best rebounders in the league. I think, you know, the term in the NBA that's in vogue right now is vertical spacing, and what that means is Capela's ability to roll to the rim and catch lobs from Harden and Westbrook and Gordon and the other Rockets really puts a lot of pressure on the defense and stretches the defense vertically where they collapse, and that's when Houston gets a lot of kick-out threes to Harden or Gordon or their shooters. So I think, you know, the Rockets have to factor that in. In certain playoff settings, Capela has been exposed a little bit, but he's still young. He's still agile. He's under contract for a number of years, which I think makes him an attractive trade chip to other teams, the fact that he's got three more years after this one in the $16 to $18 million range. So it's a tough call for the Rockets. As you guys know, they don't have a lot of tradable assets, not only in terms of the talent on the roster, but in terms of the salary matching structure, which, as you guys know, is very important in the NBA.
Yeah, Ryan McDonough, former Suns GM, and our Radio.com Sports NBA Insider joining us on Sports Radio 610. Ryan, I want to go back to something you just said a minute or two ago about the Rockets, and it sounds like you think that they are in that mix, a team that could compete in May and June in very important series. What do you think of the mix with Russ and James so far? How do you think the two of them have meshed from what you've watched of the Rockets?
Yeah, I think it's looked a lot better lately than it did early in the year. Russell got off to a slow start, and then over the last month or so, he's been terrific and made the All-Star game yet again this year. I think the million-dollar question, guys, is when you get into playoff basketball and teams are game-planning for you and you play the same team over and over again, is Russell Westbrook going to be able to make enough perimeter jump shots to keep opposing defenses honest? Because I think that's what's going to happen, right? They're going to double Harden or sag off of Russ and try to clog up the paint when Harden drives and dare Russ to shoot. So can he make enough of those? And as you guys know, as far as his percentages, he's not great at that. He hasn't been very good at that in his one half season so far in a Rockets uniform. So I think that'll be the million-dollar question. I have some concerns about how it will look with Harden on the ball and Westbrook off the ball, but we'll see if Russ can step up and make some open shots in the playoffs, because I think those shots are going to be there for him.
The Rockets have been playing a whole ton of extremely small ball as of late, and they've had some success with it. Please keep me from like jumping into some tub where I talk myself into thinking, hey, they can be small almost all the time. What happens in the playoffs when you try to stay small like that all the time?
Well, you nailed it. So in the playoffs, you play the same team, obviously 4 to 7 times in a row. And let's say, hypothetically, Houston got matched up against the Lakers. Who's going to guard Anthony Davis? Or if they got matched up against Denver, Nikola Jokic, who's an even bigger body and a more traditional post player. So I think those are the concerns. And they had a guy, they have a guy in Houston. He was one of my favorites, P.J. Tucker. We had him for 4 years when I was GM of the Phoenix Suns. As you guys know, P.J. is a warrior and will battle against anybody. But to ask him to guard a guy like Nikola Jokic for 35 minutes a night over the course of a playoff series is a lot to ask. I think you can do that some. You can do that as an option, especially down the stretch of close games, but I wouldn't be reliant on that if I were Mike D'Antoni or Daryl Morey, because I think that's a chance to get a guy like Tucker in foul trouble and then also wear him down pretty quickly, especially if he's giving up a lot of size and weight to the guy he's guarding.
Ryan McDonough joining us on Sports Radio 610. Ryan, one of the guys whose names has come up for the Rockets as a possible target if this Capella trade happens and it triggers more moves is Andre Iguodala, who has been with Memphis this year but isn't really with the team. He hasn't stepped on the court for them this year. He's making a lot of money to not play basketball right now, and some of the younger players in Memphis have started to lash out about that. I'm curious, as a general manager, and I don't know if you were ever in a situation with Phoenix where through the course of a trade, you know, the matching up salary dumps, you wind up with an older guy who just doesn't want to be with a rebuilding team. Can you speak to that dynamic as a general manager of the what exactly is Memphis's front office having to manage right now, and what are your feelings on guys sort of trying to leverage their way into a better situation in the back half of their career like Iguodala is trying to do?
Yeah, all good questions. I think it's a thing that's getting a little bit overblown. I saw the comments after the game last night from Dylan Brooks, and then they were echoed by Ja Morant, the terrific young point guard in Memphis. I think the Grizzlies, honestly, guys, are in a position that nobody really expected them to be in. I think including Memphis's front office and coaching staff and maybe even their players, we're 50 games into the season, and they currently sit in eighth place in the Western Conference and may make the playoffs. So it was mutually decided before the season that Iguodala was not going to report to Memphis. Memphis was going through a full-blown rebuild. Most people, myself included, had him being last and 15th in the Western Conference, which is obviously very wrong, and they've had a terrific year. So I understand it. I think what Memphis will do, what they've continued to do over the course of the season up to this point, is say, look, we're not going to buy out Andre Iguodala. We want to trade him. And I understand that. I think at some point over the next 48 hours between now and the trade deadline, they'll have to decide what is good enough in a trade. They'd love it to get a first-round pick. If they can't get a first-round pick, do they get a good second? So I understand the frustration of the Grizzlies players that Iguodala rejected them, that it was out in the media, you know, last July when he got traded, that he told his wife that he thought he might get traded to Memphis and then was kind of laughing about it. So as a young rebuilding team who's trying to gain respect, I think the Memphis players took offense to that. And then I think one way or another, guys, either via trade or via buyout, Andre Iguodala won't be a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, or he's not on the court, but he won't be a member of that franchise for very long.
How do people around the league view Clint Capella?
Well, I think he's an intriguing player, given his age, given his rebounding ability, given his, the vertical spacing, the above-the-rim threat. He's also one of the better rim protectors in the league. The million-dollar question right now, guys, is the value of the center position. As you know, Capella is not an offensive player who's going to demand double teams in the post or stretch the floor. That's partially because of his skill set and partially because of the way the Rockets play. But I think of the centers who are available in the trade market, I look at Andre Drummond in Detroit, potentially Miles Turner in Indiana. I'd have Capella at that top of that list, given that you can slot him in on any team. He can play that defensive rebounding rim running role, and he's under team control as far as the salaries at a good number for the foreseeable future, which I think puts him at the top of the center trade target list.
It's Ryan McDonough. He is our radio.com sports NBA insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. You can also hear Ryan on Scal and Pals, available on radio.com, wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA trade deadline, which is coming up on Thursday, from Ryan, Brian Scalabrine, Kendrick Perkins, and a whole lot more. Just search Scal, S-C-A-L, wherever you find your podcast. That's quite a crew on that podcast right there, including our guest Ryan McDonough. Ryan, we appreciate the insight, and enjoy this week, as I'm sure it'll be an exciting time around the NBA.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. We'll be doing extra Scalin Pals shows, including a trade deadline show on Thursday. So make sure to tune in after they get done listening to you guys in the morning. And then if the Rockets make a move, I'll come back on with you guys and we'll break it all down because I think it'll be an active 48 or so hours in
good,
the NBA.
Good deal. We would love that, Ryan. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. There it is. Ryan McDonough, former Suns GM, joining us on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.